Episode 188.
I see myself every day in my classroom, every day. I see young people every day that struggle with the same things I struggle with. I see young people that have it worse than I had it.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to On Point from Remarkable Results Radio, and a special interview from an auto care industry professional.
On Point.
Hello, aftermarketers throughout North America and around the world. Carm Capriotto here, and thank you for listening to Remarkable Results Radio. And welcome to episode 188 with Marlo Miranda, the 2016 Burl Shoemaker ASE Industry Education Alliance Instructor of the Year. This episode is brought to you by Federal Mogul Motor Parts. Hey, they're the reason you enjoy these interviews twice per week. When you need innovation and quality, you need Federal Mogul Motor Parts. Brands like Moog, Felpro, Wagner Brake, Anco, Champion, Seal Power, FP Diesel, and more. They're the parts techs trust. Find out more at fmmotorparts.com. Hey, I love when you connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, and on LinkedIn. It really helps support the show. So please like my Facebook page, look for Remarkable Results Podcast, and thanks to Jerry Lynn Plimmer, Brent Holler, and Zach Hoyt for friending us on Facebook, and to new connections on LinkedIn from Dick Fuchs, Alan Brown, Shiva Ojirodi, and Robert Bartow. Great to have you on board with the podcast. Hey, a quick reminder to download my podcast app from the App Store on iOS and Android. Search for Remarkable Results Radio and enjoy a seamless listening experience. Every episode to your smartphone or tablet for your personal indoctrination. Now meet Marlo Miranda, the 2016 Burl Shoemaker ASE Industry Education Alliance Instructor of the Year. I recommend you visit Marlo's show notes page at remarkableresults.biz/E188. This is a very powerful story from a single-parent household in New York City with insurmountable odds and challenges. Marlo Miranda makes moves that were not typical of a young man faced with an Everest to climb. He credits his major turnaround in life to his high school shop teacher. He said if it wasn't for Mr. Cam Meyer, he may not be here today. He left a strong imprint on Marlo that today he pays it forward with his students in the same vein that his high school mentor did for him. And he tells the story of giving back as he sees himself in many of his students. This is a very rich personal story of determination and giving back. Marlo Miranda has been working on cars since 1976. He's a veteran of the U.S. Army, played sports in high school, and coached it as a teacher. He's a father of six, including a foster daughter. And besides the Burl Shoemaker recognition in 2016, he's also been honored as the Forsyth Central High School Teacher of the Year in 2015 and the Forsyth County School District Teacher of the Year in 2015. What a huge honor. He also made it to the top 10 in the state of Georgia. You must listen to the journey, the story of a very determined and inspired man. Now meet Marlo Miranda. A warm welcome to the Burl Shoemaker ASE Industry Education Alliance Instructor of the Year in 2016 award winner. Welcome to Marlo Miranda.
Thank you very much.
Hey, man, great to have you here. Congratulations on this great honor from ASE. And by the way, I love your story. You were raised in a New York City single-parent household. What was it like growing up in New York, Marlo?
Well, New York is a great city. It is exciting. There's always a lot to do. You don't really ever run out of things to do in New York City. And for a young guy, a young Hispanic guy coming from a single parent home, living in a predominantly white neighborhood, I think I was the only Hispanic kid in my first, second, third grade classes. So it was challenging. There wasn't a lot of encouragement coming from, even from teachers. So it was tough, but, we made it through.
The beauty of the story, not only in the great honors that you had recently, is you're just doing a great job teaching in Atlanta, right?
Yes, we're right outside of Atlanta in town called Cumming, Georgia. It's probably 30 miles or so northeast of Atlanta. It's a beautiful place, right on Lake Lanier. Forsyth Central High School is the school where I teach. And we have two instructors, pretty close to 300 students between the two of us. And it's a great program in a great school district.
So, assuming you were a giant risk student.
I sure was, yeah.
And you were probably that close from dropping out. Who knows? I'm assuming that you were having your challenges. And now the Burl Shoemaker Award winner, and you've got your own automotive technology program going. And there's so many other great things to talk about. So after New York City, where did you go from there?
Well, growing up in New York City, my mother kind of felt like the answer was not public school. So as many parents do, they, pony up the money for private school. And I went to private school out on Long Island for a couple of years. That was even worse. The kids there were from privileged backgrounds, and I was just a blue-collar kid. You know, my mom was a hard-working lady, and my grandparents, who we lived with, were hard-working people. And, you know, these were doctor, lawyer, you know, kids, and there was a lot of bigotry. And, you know, unfortunately, I, you know, didn't have a great experience. From there, tried back at the public school system for high school. And then my mother realized very quickly that I was getting too close to gang life, too close to trouble. And so we decided to move to New Hampshire. I lived in Salem, New Hampshire for all the rest of my high school years. And, you know, quite honestly, if it not had been for the auto shop teacher there at Salem High School in Salem, New Hampshire, I wouldn't be here today. No doubt in my mind.
Did you play any sports?
I did. I was a football player. I was a wrestler. I threw the shot put, discus, javelin, and hammer in high school. So I was quite an accomplished athlete. And you would think, even being a pretty good football player and a state champion wrestler, that it would have made a difference. But, you know, most of my teachers didn't like me. Most of my teachers didn't want me around. And they so much as told me so, you know, so it was a challenge.
Tough to hear from you, especially as accomplished as you are. Now, you were talking about your shop teacher, and I think you called him a really important mentor to you.
Yes. George Kammermeyer was the man that stepped in and looked me in the face and told me that I could be anything I wanted to be. He saw things that not a lot of other teachers saw, and he encouraged me to get back in the game. I mean, you know, halfway through the 11th grade, I was failing every class I was taking with the exception of automotive technologies, and it meant that I wasn't going to graduate on time, and I had pretty much lost interest in school. And January, when I came back to school, I pretty much had made up my mind I needed to drop out. Mr. Kammermeyer talked me out of it, told me to just work hard. With the help of my guidance counselor, we figured out a plan to get, you know, through some summer school in the summer, and somehow we figured it out. I started passing classes, and I graduated on time, and it was all because of the interest that he showed in me. Of course, he had a passion for cars, and he had a passion for the car industry, and so I kind of caught that passion as I was there. Coming out of high school, I really didn't have good enough grades to go straight into college, so I figured the only way I could do it was to go in the military, try going to college while I was there, earn some money for college through the military, and then hopefully come out of the military and finish school. I came out of the military, went back to school, and it was a long, arduous task, you know, going to school, working full time. And by this time I had a family. So I did the only other thing that I knew how to do which was work on cars for a living. So I worked on cars until I was probably in my mid-30s, and then decided I wanted to take a shot at a job that I saw in the Orlando Sentinel. I was living in Orlando, Florida at the time, and there was a job opening for an auto shop teacher at a high school, and all of a sudden the thought of me being a teacher, giving back what Mr. Kammeyer had given to me, you know, an opportunity to serve kids and help kids, and it just, it looked like it was exactly what I wanted to do. So I applied. And next thing you know, I'm teaching class, coaching football, coaching wrestling, coaching golf, coaching girls softball, all kinds of things.
And it's a whole new world for you, and you're loving your students because you realized how tough it was for you in high school.
That's right. Yes, I had it tough, not because of, you know, I could blame a lot of other people, and I could put the blame on a lot of things. But deep down, you know, young people know what they need to do. Young people know what's right to do. But young people need older people to come alongside them, guide them, give them inspiration, give them motivation, help them to find it, what's inside them. Help them to discover their talents, and they really need someone like George Kammeyer to come along and put the arm around you and let you know that you can do it. So it takes young people, you know, to just be willing to accept that, you know, they can't run from the truth. They can't run from the fact that, you know, it's not all their surroundings. It's not all the negativity they may get from other teachers. They have to pony up, work hard, and, you know, make things happen for themselves. Like Mr. Kammeyer said, nobody in life is going to give you anything. You have to work for everything you get. And not having a dad growing up, having a man that I respected and believed tell me that, it made sense.
Have you ever gone back to Mr. Kammeyer?
I've tried to find George. As far as I know, George is still alive. George is retired from teaching. He still lives in New Hampshire, from what I understand. And I've tried to find him a few times, unsuccessfully. I'm still trying to find him. I've got some contacts up in the Salem, New Hampshire area that said, like the vocational coordinator at the school said he stops in every once in a while. When I see him, I'll tell him to call you. That kind of thing.
What a great thing! He needs to hear from you. You know how badly you guys got to get together, and he needs to realize that. Wow, what a great story! And you know, we've always been reminded our whole lives, Marlo, that the older we get, the smarter our parents get. Amazing. You know,
it's a God's honest truth. Yeah.
I'm talking with Anthony Frohwine, a technical product specialist with Federal Mogul Motor Parts. Anthony, when you're in a shop, are you talking tech as well as product?
Whenever I do a physical training, there is product incorporated part of the whole training overall, but it's to maximize the time, whether it's diagnostics, whether it's inspection, whether it's installation. So that way they understand that, hey, by skipping that extra 20 seconds by putting on this set of brake pads and not replacing the hardware, hey, this might be the reason why that I'm getting comebacks. And usually, being a ex-shop owner, I understand that the first time you get paid, the second time's free.
And so are the techs really starving for this information?
Oh, absolutely. A lot of times you have, we live in an industry where I like to say they cut the roast in half and they don't understand why, but they do it just because they've always been doing it type of an industry. So, you know, to break it through that, they've been doing something for 30 years and they see as they haven't been doing anything wrong, but it starts to open up their eyes to, hey, you know what? It wasn't necessarily wrong, but there is a better way.
So you're really talking to me about an aha moment.
Exactly.
And tell me, when you see that happening more and more from technicians that you're out with. How does it make you feel?
Oh, it's awesome. I mean, you really feel like you're giving back to the community overall. But ultimately, the way I tell them, you know, I look at every single vehicle that I worked on prior to, or I had my customer, just like I'd put my family in that vehicle. I look at it as I'm keeping everybody else that much safer because the job's getting done correctly.
Federal Mogul Motor Parts' Garage Gurus is your go-to source for the vehicle training, technology, and answers you need to keep your next job on track. On site, online, or on demand, the gurus are here to help keep your business and your career on the road to success. Visit fmgarageguru.com. You did the service, right?
Yes. I was in the military for 3 years active and 6 years of inactive reserves. And when I got out of there, like I said, the only thing I really knew how to do was what Mr. Kammeyer taught me how to do, which was fix cars.
Have you been able to be the same kind of mentor to any of the students that have passed through your class?
I see myself every day in my classroom, every day. I see young people every day that struggle with the same things I struggle with. I see young people that have it worse than I had it. I'm thinking of a young man right now that when he came to me as a seventh grader, he joined my youth wrestling program, which was a feeder to our high school program. And I coached him and we built a little bit of a relationship, and he decided he wanted to take my class when he got to the high school. When he got to the high school, he had just recently suffered the loss of his father. In the eighth grade, his father passed away from cancer. And shortly thereafter, his mom was incarcerated for drug abuse and drug sales. And so he went into the foster care system. My wife and I are foster parents, so we, you know, contemplated taking him, but he had an uncle that was willing to take him. So he went to live with his uncle, and this young man and I developed a strong relationship over his 4 years at high school with me, both through coaching him and being in my program. He had a passion for cars from the get-go, and I wanted to see him get to the success side of that. So I just kept encouraging him. There were times when he had it tough. I mean, you know, sometimes he didn't know from day to day what was going to be available to him. And we started participating in a competition that afforded him some scholarship money. And he did very, very well in this competition. We traveled to New York City. He won about $15,000 in scholarships there. We traveled to Indianapolis, where he competed in the national championships of engine building with his team members. And he ended up totaling somewhere in the neighborhood of $30,000 in scholarship money that he used to go to the University of Northwestern Ohio, where I'm proud to say he just graduated from. And I can't wait. We have to go back in June for their graduation. We have about five boys go there the same year, and graduation is in June, even though he got to graduate in December. I get to go back and see him get his diploma and walk across that stage.
How's that make you feel?
Proud as if I were his dad. It's encouraging. And he's just one story out of many, many, many. You know, there are. I get to do something that is a perfect fit for my background, because I know firsthand what it feels like to feel like you just can't cut it. And to have someone put their arm around you and tell you that you just got to work harder than everybody else. You just have to make things happen for yourself. But to believe in you and to tell you that you're worth something and that you can make it despite your odds, despite what everybody else tells you. I can't tell you how many teachers told me I'd never amount to anything.
Yeah.
And when I tell teachers that now, they say, how's it possible that a teacher would say that to a student? Well, unfortunately, not all teachers are the same.
I've heard some stories recently like that from the day, and it rocks your world a little bit, and it obviously rocked your world in a big way. You've obviously done everything you possibly can to right that wrong. Great story, very heartwarming story. Now, after Florida, because you told us you're working in Atlanta
right
now, so you obviously went from Florida to Atlanta.
That's right.
And how did that move go?
Well, you know, it's interesting how things work out the way they should. If I kind of believe that if God's on your side, I believe he is, then, you know, you just let him open the doors and good things happen. And my grandmother was getting to the age where she was going to pass away. She got cancer and died pretty quickly from it. You know, I was left kind of alone, so to speak, with my family, my wife and my kids. And my wife's from here, from Atlanta area. And my mother, who is one of the most independent people you'll ever know, she's still alive, still kicking hard. She still lives in Kissimmee, Florida. She hates Atlanta, or she would live here with us. But we knew we needed to move. And so we actually targeted the Raleigh-Durham area first, and we drove up to the town where we felt where we would relocate. You know, we felt strongly this was a place.
Mm-hmm.
It was Cary, North Carolina. It was a great town, great school system, a place where we wanted to raise our children, and a place where we wanted to have our kids grow up and go to school. So working in the school district would have been great. So we started talking to them, and I mean, they offered us jobs on the spot, and it just didn't work out because we found out very quickly that they were on a year-round school at the time, and so we were not interested in being in a year-round school system. My wife teaches elementary, I teach at the high school level, and we have three girls that at one time would have been in elementary, middle, and high school at the same time. And everybody would have had different schedules, so it wouldn't have worked out. So we went back to Georgia, sat down in my mother-in-law's living room, and I pulled out my laptop and saw a need for an automotive instructor at Forsyth Central High School.
How does that happen? I mean, I just don't understand how that happens. You flip up the laptop, and there's your job.
Yeah, I flipped open the laptop, and it gets better than that because, you know, here I am looking at an ad for a auto shop teacher. I haven't so much as put an application in or a resume in the Georgia system, so I have nothing. And so I just decide, you know, I remember Mr. Kammerer saying, if things are going to happen, you have to make them happen. So I drove over to Cumming to Forsyth Central High School. And thankfully, they were in session. We were in spring break, but they were in session. So I drove up to the school, walked into the front office. There's the principal's secretary. And she looked at me. She says, we don't do that kind of thing. We don't interview on the spot. You have to put your application in the proper channels. And if we want you, we'll call you. And I could, you know, the principal's door right behind her, I could see him sitting at his desk. And I thought, I've got to get him out of that desk. I've got to get him off that chair, and I've got to get him out here to talk to me. And so out loud, I just said, well, I just want to stop by and look this place over because I don't really know if this is the kind of school I want to work in anyway. When he heard that, he jumped off of his chair. He ran out. He said, young man, come in here. And I thought, you know, this is great. I'm going to get chewed out by a man that I want to hire me, right? So he sits me down, and he says, let me tell you why you want to work here. He says, you wouldn't want to work here because this is a place you'd want your kids to go. He says, this isn't just a school. This is a family. And he spent the next 30 minutes just selling me on Forsyth Central High School and on Forsyth County. And then I had to sell myself to him. So he said, now tell me about you. Why should I hire you? So I told him about my past, and I told him about my job, and I told him about what I'd been doing in Florida. And he looked at me, and he said, I want to hire you. I want to give you this job right now. I said, sir, I haven't even given you my resume, references, nothing. He says, I don't need to see any of that. I know I want to hire you. And I said, well, time out. My wife is also a teacher. She teaches hearing impaired students. And he says, come with me. So he puts me in his pickup truck, drives me up to the county office, which is about 2 miles up the street, walks me into the building, introduces me to the head of human resources, and says, this is the guy I want to hire as an automotive instructor. And he says, he's got a wife that teaches hearing impaired at the elementary level. Do we have a job for her? She picks up the phone, calls the principal at Cumming Elementary School, and they had an opening for a hearing impaired teacher. They wanted to stop using itinerants, and they wanted to hire somebody that could come in and build a self-contained program, and that was my wife's specialty. So two very specialized jobs, two people looking for jobs at the same time, and the doors flung open. I mean, we didn't have a place to live. We didn't know anything else about this town. We just knew they wanted us, and you know, we...
So wait a minute. It's usually home first, then job, but you got job first, then home.
Job first, yeah. Then I spent the next 3 weeks on the weekends driving back from Florida looking for a place to live, which was almost comical, but...
It's a great, great story, Marlo. Oh, and now how many years has that been?
We started working here in the 2003-2004 school system,
okay.
School year. So, you know, it's been about 13, going to 14 years. You know, they hired my wife sight unseen.
Yeah, amazing.
They didn't know what she looked like.
Amazing.
They hired me before they had seen any references or anything.
So you're established, you got your shop class going.
We teach ninth graders through 12th graders.
Okay.
We believe very strongly in starting them as early as possible. And a lot of other automotive teachers don't see any value in teaching ninth graders because they don't feel like they're mature enough to handle the curriculum and mature enough to be in the shop. That's not been my experience. I've tend to found out that, kids will be as responsible as you hold them to, and they will be as mature as you need them to be, given that the environment keeps them thinking and on their toes and working hard to complete the task that you've given them. So they don't have much time to breathe, if you know what I mean. We push very fast. We're one of the few master accredited high school programs in a comprehensive high school in the country. There are very few high school instructors seek to reach MAST or Master Automotive Service Technology accreditation through NATEF. Because it's an arduous task. There are so many tasks that have to be taught it kind of makes people shy away from that. But we wanted to seek that accreditation because we felt like it was the best thing for our students, best thing for our program.
Now, we're always talking on the podcast about future technicians and where are they going to come from? Obviously, we're speaking to a secondary instructor that sees who's going to go out there into post-secondary. How many of your students are getting out to college?
We have probably a 50-50 mix of students that will go on right out of high school and seek a post-secondary credential, whether that be through a technical college, an associate's degree, a certificate, technical certificate, the other half of them want to get into the industry, work in a dealership or work in a independent shop, and then start going to school. As they get a little older, they see the value in starting to work right away. That's how I did it when I got out of the military. I started working right away and then went back to school. It's about a 50-50 mix. We have very, very few students that leave our program not completely sold out for the automotive industry.
So you would agree that there are just not enough students going into the entire technical side of our trades today?
Absolutely. We, like I said, we have a large program. It didn't start that way. We started with a program that had about 30 students It grew quickly to about 150 students. But even still, we see so much pressure coming from parents, coming from guidance counselors, from other teachers, a lot of pressure for students to abandon a technical degree and to go on to a professional degree. It's been a long time since what we used to call vocational education in our country was revered as important, was revered as a very integral part of the success of our country. I mean, to be honest with you, we have pushed so hard in the last 20, 30 years to get everybody to go to college and seek a professional degree that we have lost the ability to create workers for the workforce. We're definitely going to have to change that attitude in the future. I mean, I know of a company in Southern Alabama. My brother-in-law works for Boeing Corporation. He knew of a company that opened in Southern Alabama that needed welders. And they were scouring the land looking for welders. They had ads all over the country, and they could not fill the positions of welders. They had to ship welders in from China to fulfill the duties that needed to be done as welders in a factory in Southern Alabama. That's pretty sad.
Yeah, it's a testament to the issues that we have, and the people that love to work with their hands aren't necessarily getting that opportunity. And I hope that never happens, that we're searching for automotive technicians. If not, how are we ever going to get around? I mean, our lives is all, if you will, circles around transportation.
Well, that's right.
Okay, so you got this incredible award from ASC. How did you get notified about it?
I got an email from the ASC people and a phone call from a sweet lady named Sally who made me feel like I was the most important person in the world. She set up transportation to Charlotte. She set up hotel. She set up my wife coming with me. She took care of everything. The people at ASC just treated me like I was somebody very important. And it was very heartwarming. And it's just something that I'm not used to. And they really went first class. When we got to the hotel, and my wife and I got in our suite, it was like, wow, we could never afford a room like that on our income. But they took really good care of us for a couple of days, and we had a lot of fun. And we got to go to the awards banquet, and like I said, they treated us like first-class citizens all the way. The people at ASA really know how to make their people feel good.
Oh, that's great to hear. They're just great people over there. Now, Marlo, have you ever had a chance? I'm going to say that again. Marlo, have you ever won any other prestigious awards?
Last year, this goes back to the year before, last school year, should I say, in the fall, I was notified by my principal that I had won School Teacher of the Year.
Wow.
And I mean, I get nominated every year pretty much, but career tech teachers never win because they're up against math teachers and English teachers and science teachers whose departments are much bigger usually. And we only have 3 career tech people in our school at the time. So getting the vote from all of the faculty and finding out that I was the one that won was astonishing. I mean, I was shocked. And then I had to, of course, put in for County Teacher of the Year, which meant writing essays and doing some interviews and things like that. And then I was notified that I was one of the finalists for County Teacher of the Year. And so that was exciting. Then it came down to the finals, where there was one high school teacher of the year, one middle school teacher of the year, and one elementary school teacher of the year. And I made that cut. So when I went to the final interview, I kind of went in there thinking, you know, well, I don't have the accolades. I don't have the degrees that these people have. I don't have the, you know, the all of the academic prowess that they have. So I was just happy to be picked to be in that group,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So if it had stopped there, I would have been okay with it. But I went to the awards banquet where they were going to name the county teacher of the year, and I won. I couldn't believe it.
Oh, man, like, congratulations. So,
and then when you win county teacher of the year, you have to put in for state teacher of the year. And put in for state teacher of the year. And make a long story short, I made the top 10. I made finals.
Wow.
The state finalists in Georgia are also treated with kid gloves and very well taken care of. It was some kind of a year. The last couple of years have been exciting. I went from school teacher of the year to county teacher of the year to state finalist to Beryl Shoemaker Award winner. And it's been a lot of fun.
So the story is, here's a kid from a single parent in New York City who was going to drop out of school.
That's right.
To these incredible recognitions in a life of service. It makes me feel just so proud for you. Now, if you had a chance to get up in front of a parent group and you were invited to come in and says, hey, listen, it's kind of career day, but it's not quite. And some of these parents are thinking that they want to send their child to technology school because they're showing the tendencies to work with their hands. And they don't want to go be a brainiac. They want to do something else. And you had a chance to get up in front of the parents. What would you be saying?
I would really make it clear to the parents that number one, most important thing is that kids today need to have a passion for something. And if their passion is for plumbing, let them be a great plumber. If their passion is for electronics, let them be a great electrician or electrical engineer or fix TVs for a living if that's what they really like to do. And that's what I believe it's all about. Mr. Kammeyer shared his passion with me. That passion rubbed off on me, and it became my passion. And my passion today is the automotive industry, and I hope that my kids, and I see evidence every day that my kids, my students, I call them my kids because they are.
I
hope that my kids see that passion that I have and take their passion and turn it into a great living. I had a student years ago that ninth grade, he looks at me, he goes, I'm going to be a pro drifter driver. And I looked at him and I said, wow, that's cool. So do you have a 240 yet? And he looks at me like I'm crazy. I go, of 240, you know, a 240 SX, a Nissan 240. It's probably the best drifting car you can buy right now. And they're cheap to get a hold of. You find. Well, that kid spent the next couple of years looking for a 240. He found one. He turned it into a drifting car. He found some local sponsors to sponsor him.
Oh, boy.
Now he lives in Miami. He's a pro drifter driver, and he works for Redline Motorsports in Miami, Florida. And he gets to live his dream every day. Building high-performance drift cars, building high-performance cars, drifting cars for a living on the weekends, and he's having a blast. And say that's the message that I believe parents need to hear. It's not all about four-year universities. It's not all about thinking, well, you know, my kid's not a great student, so maybe he should go to tech school. I think we need to work harder to identify the passions in these kids, push them down that pipeline. I like what Mike Rowe says all the time. He says, We need plumbers just as much as we need doctors. We need electricians just as much as we need lawyers. We need carpenters, maybe more than we need lawyers.
Right.
You know, that it's we need a well-rounded workforce, a very well-trained, highly technically trained workforce in our country. We have farmed those jobs out. They need to come back. The only way they're going to come back is if we train the workforce and get it ready for the work, the workplace.
Well, I'd sure love to come to your class and let you bring your passion to teach me automotive technology. But do you see it coming back?
I do.
Is it because of your enrollment, or is there a paradigm shift?
Well, I think both. I think we have taken students that had a passion for what they were doing with the industry, with cars and with the car industry, and turned that into success stories. Turned that into, you know, I've got a kid that graduated about 2007. He's now a shop owner. I have another student that graduated in 2006 who now owns his own towing company. We turned him into success stories. And now we have these trophies, these shining trophies, mm-hmm. that we can go out and say, look what we can do if we support their passion, if we guide them and help them not stumble into the stumbling blocks that a lot of us have made. You know, I learned through the road of hard knocks. It's that simple. You know, I beat my head against the wall working in dealerships. Didn't have a whole lot of training when I first started. I had my basic high school automotive program that I'd been through. But, you know, carburetors were disappearing. Fuel injection was on the scene. I didn't know a thing about electrical electronics. I needed training. I needed to learn. So I got my training, learned what I needed to do, and turned it into a success story. It doesn't always work that way. You know, some guys, when they reach a hurdle like that, they just go find something else to do because they, you know, they feel like it's too much work to get through that. But like I said, these kids need to understand, these parents need to understand, it's hard work sometimes. But, you know, we don't all need to be trying to funnel kids in directions they're not really interested in.
You know, Marlo, years ago in shop class, automotive technology, Mr. Camimere, who was your instructor and mentored you, back in the day, the vehicle, it had some kind of romance going on. You could lift the hood. You could see all the
yes.
carburetor. You can see everything. And yes. it wasn't hard for someone to say, those are the wires and that's the distributor cap. And this is how it all works. Today, you can't really see what's going on. Where is the romance or the magic from the young people today that say, I want to do this? I'm not really sure what I want to do. Where is that hands-on love affair with the automobile with the young kids?
Well, the kids today, they're tinkerers just like we were tinkerers. The only thing is it's different because everything today in a vehicle is so technologically advanced. I mean, we have computers and electrical systems in every part of the car now. And so kids aren't afraid of technology. They're growing up with technology. The more technology they see, the more they like it. So we have students that find the, you know, yes, there are those that just like that deep throaty sound of a great sounding exhaust. There are those that can appreciate the aesthetics of a beautiful paint job and great body work. But we also have kids today that are they're in a different wavelength than I was and that some of us were back in the day. I mean, you know, back in the day, a 57 Chevy or a 55 Chevy got my heart pumping hard. It still does. Today, kids see a 57 or a 55 Chevy and they say, oh, what a great old car. But it doesn't really have the same impact on them as it did on us.
Mm-hmm.
What these kids get excited about is the technology that's in cars. They're taking everything to another level. Kids now, you know, when I was in high school, I wouldn't have dreamed of building a race motor, putting it in a car, putting the car on a dynamometer, and seeing what kind of horsepower we were creating at the wheels. Our shop just purchased a chassis dynamometer and an engine dynamometer. It takes that kind of technology in a high school shop sometimes to really satisfy that passion that these kids have for that, for seeing those gains. So I think that's where the area is. It's a little more.
It's the high-tech draw.
The high-tech draw.
Got it.
The high-tech draw and the prove it. These kids, you can't just tell them that if you raise your compression ratio and, you know, make the engine breathe a little better that you're going to have gains. Prove it. They say, okay, let's build one. So in the next year, we'll be building race engines on stands that will have already been on a dyno, and then we're going to take them off that stand when the kids are finished rebuilding it and making modifications and improvements to it, putting it on an engine dyno, and seeing the gains that they've made. That's unheard of for high schoolers to do, you know. And the reason I feel like we need to go in that direction is because, you know, a lot of the motorsports industry, these kids are cutting their teeth in dynos a lot earlier. A lot of the students that I've sent to the University of Northwestern Ohio come back with lots of hours already spent on dynos. So that's just one facet of it. I mean, you know, it's really exciting. From back in the day when I used to build my old Chevelle, take it down to the drag strip, break it every Friday night, then bring it back every Monday and work on it some more in Mr. Kammerer's shop, then take it back there the next weekend and break it again. And, you know, him telling me one part at a time, well, that broke because of this. And you know, it's different. But we have the same passion. It just drives a little more deep with these kids. And you have to understand their tech savvy leaves us in the dust. You know, they really, it takes a little more to get these kids excited than it did me.
Great story and great analogy. I loved your story. I loved your passion for the industry. A great way to find a job in it out in Atlanta. That's a great story. And congratulations to you, the Burl Shoemaker ASE Industry Education Alliance Instructor of the Year, Marla Miranda. Do you have any great words to live by that you could share? Any great wisdom?
You know, I tend to live by my internal motto, which is, you know, I'm always looking for a way to give back. This industry was very, very good to me. I owned my own shop in Kissimmee for a few years. It was very lucrative, although the hours precluded me from really spending the kind of time that I wanted to with my family. It was very good to me. Working in car dealerships was very good to me. There were a lot of good people in the industry. But I take it back again to George Kammerer, to Mr. Kammerer and what he did, because, you know, he owned a gas station in town. And a lot of the kids that went to school there worked in his gas station from time to time, you know, and he could have just ran his gas station. He didn't have to teach school. I mean, I know for a fact that he was probably making a fraction of the income. And I know for a fact because I'm a teacher, too. But he made a fraction of the income teaching than he would have if he had devoted all of his time to running his gas station and, you know, doing the other things professionally in the car industry that I know he could have done. I took a $33,000 a year cut in pay to start teaching. But money isn't everything. To me, having a chance to give back, having a chance to watch other young people be impacted by something I did or something I said is everything to me. I was a teacher a long time ago. So I guess I just didn't know it. I don't know if Mr. Kammerer knew it, but he saw something in me that nobody else wanted to see. I'll take it. You know, it's all it took. You know, one guy. And so if there's anybody out there, I mean, I laid the same challenge down at the ASC awards. I'm talking to a room full of the best technicians on the planet. And I said, look, some of you guys have found it difficult or gotten stale or things have gotten to where you just feel like you need something else. Consider teaching. Consider giving back to this industry. Consider giving some of yourself to these kids that really desperately need strong mentors, strong people in their lives that are going to guide them and lead them, you know, to the next level. And I couldn't have asked for a better mentor. And I hope that someday I can fill his shoes.
Marlo, thank you so much. Continued success to you.
Thank you very much.
Hey, aftermarketers, thanks for joining us. Now for an in-depth episode experience, don't miss the show notes for this episode with Marlo Miranda and additional biographical information at remarkableresults.biz/E188. Hey, was that a powerful story? Just let it sink in. Hey, stay in touch. Got an idea or a town hall live topic? Got an idea for a guest on the show? Want to just drop a line and say hi? Well, email me at carm@remarkableresults.biz or head over to the contact page on the website. Hey, it's favorite time. Tell a friend about the podcast. Share a social post to your peers. Subscribe to my YouTube channel or send an email to a friend with the show's web address, remarkableresults.biz. Hey, I do hope you are profiting from the wisdom and insights found in each episode. Thanks for your support. Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from another inspiring aftermarket professional. Until next time.